Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everybody to season 4, episode 7 of The Psychologists Are In. I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Elmondson.
And this week we have got one of our favorite guests back in the building. You know that's right. We have the one and only MC Clap Your Hands, Dulé Hill. Together we are chatting about High Top Fade Out and maybe even sing a little a cappella ourselves. Who knows? Enjoy.
Dulé Hill in the virtual house.
Here we are once again. Back at it. You know, the band's back together again.
Hi, Dulé.
What's happening?
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see the whole thing. I saw about a quarter of it, but it brought me back a lot of memories.
Yeah. I have like so many questions too where I'm like, I the theme song?
Oh, yeah. Boys to Men. Come on.
I totally forgot we'd done that.
I completely forgot that.
Yeah, the fact that we pulled that off was pretty genius.
It was so good.
Oh yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Come on, Boyz II Men. How are you going to beat that?
Oh my god.
Mm. You know.
Well, with Black Capella.
I think they, if I'm not mistaken, like Wanye might have did it right before he was getting ready to take off on a plane or something like that.
Yes.
If I recall the story correctly.
I remember this. They separately. They weren't together when they did it. Right.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it's and they kind of like heard and said, okay. And then each kind of dropped in their piece.
Then the magic.
To bring together that magic.
That's crazy. Well, y'all were magic too. Happy holidays, everybody. Like we're all
happy holidays.
Yeah. I saw you were with Kennedy.
Yeah. We went to a football game yesterday.
That's so fun.
Saw the Chargers do their thing.
And you get a little downtime, right?
Yeah. Well, now, yeah, I'm down to the end of the year, and then we'll see what comes next. Because we wrapped the season.
They say congratulations.
Oh, you're done with the season? Okay.
Yeah, we wrapped the season a couple of days ago, and we'll be out in June. We'll be coming out on ABC, so hopefully everybody will tune in and enjoy it. That's the Wonder Years we're talking about, everybody. That's the Wonder Years we're talking about.
How does it feel to have a little rest?
I haven't gotten a rest yet.
Okay.
Hence why I was a little late coming here.
I love that we're like, the second you rap, we're like, come on the podcast. And you're like, guys. No, and you're right but here. You showed up for us.
I'm looking forward to the rest, though. I'm looking forward to the rest, which will be coming soon. So
good.
No complaints. I'm glad that we're all home together. I know, right, especially in the fall with Kennedy being at school and then me going back and forth between Atlanta. It's a lot of being spread out. So it's nice for us to have some time just to be together and be chill for a while.
I'm so happy for you all of you. That's so great.
Thank you.
How's Jasmine?
She's doing good. Yeah, all is well. We're all here just taking the days as they come and go. I'm very, very thankful for the moment. So much craziness going on in the world. So it's nice to just look around and say thank you when you can be around loved ones and just, take it easy.
Very well spoken. That's why
I love when Dulé comes on the show because I always feel like he just drops his wisdom and I always say the same thing, which is it's not just like these pearls of wisdom. He like lives by them. Everything you say, you do. I mean, you really do. And so it's kind of nice. We all just get to drop into what it's really about.
These psychologists are in.
Yeah.
You see? I think one of my favorites is the one that says, It's always better with whiskey. Isn't that right, Tim?
I'll answer. Yeah.
It's always better with whiskey.
But it's still true. They're put these pearls of wisdom and they're all true. No good can come of this. It's so funny.
Those two do tend to go together. It's always better with whiskey and nothing good can come of it.
Exactly. It's the before and the after.
And sometimes the together.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
It's together. Love it. Well, guys, I'm so excited to talk about this episode. First off, hi, Tim.
Hey, Maggie.
Hang on,
I got to get the pitch up a little bit on that one.
Yeah, hi, let's do it again. There it is. There it is.
I was impressed with the falsetto right there.
Thanks.
That was nice enough there.
I also like that he corrects it. It's like, it's high, and he's like, no. Yeah, he was like, higher.
No, that's not. Yeah. No, hold on.
I can't start the episode off without giving my full percent. Maggie. It's almost to the level of eighth grade Juliet voice.
Oh, which we got a little of in this episode, which I love. Yeah, yeah. But I like Dulé's like, hi, hi.
No, that's not right. Hi. That's how Tim does it. Tim is like, hi. No, that's not right.
Hi. No, I got to do it.
Hi.
First of all, before we start, I'm going to say you guys both look amazing, as always.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yes.
So do you, brother. So do you. I'm liking the stash. I'm liking the
extra wax in there today.
Yes, I like it. I like it. You know, and the coiffed hair up top like this.
I got a little something going on here today.
Yeah,
it's getting so long. I'm getting
a little
cut on Friday because it's too it's got a little out of control.
Mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. both look fantastic. Dulé, Tim sent me a picture last night because he was out celebrating with Lily, who. So she's done, right? She finished this class. Yeah, this was her final art piece.
Yeah, that was her final for that picture saying was her final for her figure drawing class. So she's back. She just finished her first semester at Art Center.
Anyway, they went out to celebrate at Musso and Frank's last night, and Tim sent me this picture, and he's just like a movie star sitting in this like Musso and Frank's booth.
Thanks. And then we brought Nora as well. So we wanted to show the girls where we had our second date.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you and Allison had your second date?
I think it was our second. Yeah, our first date was across the street at Michelli's, which is like literally right across the street, right the corner.
Michelli's.
Yeah. Which is where Michelli's. I also proposed.
Oh, okay.
At Musso's or Michelli's?
Michelli's. So then.
That's so cute.
Our second date, I took her across the street to the Musso Franks.
Yeah. Love. Guys, let's dive into this super fun episode.
Very important question.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to. Maggie, Dulé, are you both ready to podcast the shit out of this?
You know this, man. I am ready to podcast the shit out of this.
The shit.
Okay. We have a new best of this phrase now. Wait, what did you say? Shit. I'm going to be podcast the shit. I can't even do it. Out of it.
The shit.
Yeah, Dulé, that's – oh, my gosh. We might have to use that as a soundbite occasionally just because it's
– I mean, anytime.
It's rich.
Anytime. That's from me to you. That's from Dulé, me to you.
Thank you for these gifts. It is the holiday times. Yeah. Gifts are nice, you know.
It's the season of merriment. It's the season of merriment. That's what it is. So that's what I'm here to do.
Let's be merry. Let's do this episode and be merry. Episode 7, High Top Fade Out, written by Saladin K. Patterson and James Rodé Rodriguez, directed by Steven Sergic.
That's right.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about Steven in a while. I was like, oh, wow, that's right. Look at that.
Yeah. Dulé, we were so happy you were available and we could talk to you about this episode because it is so special. It is so funny. And it's like a whole other level of talent going on in this.
We got the regular site crew. Then we have, Kenan Thompson coming through. We have Jaleel White coming through. We have Tony Todd coming through.
Tony Todd.
So, yeah. it was definitely a fun episode.
Yeah.
And we'll get to it when it happens, but it's the debut of Woodrow Strode.
And the debut of Woody, yeah.
Yes.
Or dear Kurt Fuller.
That's right. Woody's debut. And that was also where Detective Miles. His first name is Detective. I didn't remember that this was from this episode where when Woody comes in and he goes, Detective Miles, and then Woody goes, he was one of the good ones. No, his first name was Detective. But here's the thing about that too. Detective Miles was actually my character's name on a movie I did called Whisper.
I was just going to say,
I remember Whisper.
Yes, Whisper. That's right. So that's where the whole Detective Miles comes from.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. I didn't know that part. Oh, that's so funny.
Things like that happen when James Roday writes an episode. You get little nuggets like that.
Yes, he does. He takes. Whisper. When did you do that movie? That was like while we were shooting, right?
No.
Oh, Whisper right before. Was before? Oh, okay,
right
got
before.
It.
I filmed it. Actually, right before we did the pilot.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, right before we did the pilot.
I remember talking about it season one, so yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, it kind of came and went. It came and went. See, it was here. See, it was here.
Yeah.
Then it was there.
Oh, okay. Here? It just like, there. Would you say that it kind of went by like a whisper?
Like a whisper. That's right. Yeah.
Well played, Maggie.
Maybe they should have changed the title to Shout. Or with
say it loud.
Yeah, say it loud. I like that. Say it loud. By the way, has anybody been watching the World Cup?
I'm ashamed. I'm just like a terrible Jamaican right now because I was not able to watch any of the World Cup this year. And I really want to watch the finals.
Yeah.
You know, Dule Hill, the man who would play FIFA in his, I think it was on your phone, or at least I know it was in your trailer. You enjoy the FIFA soccer.
Football. Oh, yes. And especially during the World Cup, I love like going to a pub and watching the matches with some friends and everything.
Yeah.
But I just didn't, you know, time gets short sometimes. So you got to pick and choose.
I know. And the timing was weird, obviously, with like, you know, sometimes the game. However, I just said Shout, which made me think of Tears for Fears. And the whole wrap up of the World Cup yesterday, there was a special that was a wrap up, and it just sort of did this highlight reel. It was really, really touching, and like the players, the coaches, like everything. And Tears for Fears was they called them out even at one point. They were like, "Yeah, this is Tears for Fears. It was everybody who wants to rule the world. Everybody wants to rule the world." And it was playing underneath this whole highlight reel, and they even like called it out. And I was so excited to hear it. I thought that was so huge. And anyway, so that made me think of it.
Good for Kurt Smith. You
good
know
for
what I'm
Kurt
saying?
Smith. Exactly.
I mean, Roland Osabel.
He's a Man United fan, right?
Is it Man United?
I think he's a Man United.
Mm. I hear that, yeah. Yep. I mean, I guess I'm a little disappointed that the World Cup didn't just kind of go into the Sean and Gus version of Shout. I mean, it just would seem like that would be the perfect segue from Everybody Wants to Rule the World to Sean and Gus sing Shout.
I'm confused. Yeah. I kept watching. I was waiting. I felt like there must have been like a glitch maybe in the streaming. I'm sure it was there. But yeah, I kept watching. I recorded. You know what? I didn't watch the end of the recording.
It's probably there.
Let me go. It's there. It's got to be there. It's absolutely. There. Like, I can't believe it.
Well, maybe not. I mean, it probably was live, but they probably, because of the dynamicness of that rendition that we did, they probably can't have it record to anything. So if you missed it, you probably missed it.
It was like a special thing that, it has one of those like a sensor thing on it where like you can't record it.
Right.
Oh, it makes total sense, actually. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like
sensitive.
Yeah, the
satellites can't handle that, man.
Yeah, no, it would have like broken the internet.
Yeah, it's too much delicious flavor. Like, no, too much.
I think we solved it. Great. So it was there. It's just that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. It makes sense.
Okay, now we can get back to this because that was really going to throw me off there.
Yeah.
And now that we figured it out, then that's good.
Yeah. We worked it out.
See, we are solving world changing problems here.
That's what we do.
It's what we do.
When the side cast gets together, that's what happens.
Oh my God. Every time. Yeah. Like, you know, I'll blow through this synopsis because I feel like we have world saving to make happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to dive into the pineapple sighting.
My hair really is doing some high top kind of fade out action right now.
Oh, look at you.
high in the front and the fade is sort of down to the back.
Oh, yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. Your hair looks great. Okay, here we go. Ready, guys? Ready? First off, the pineapple sighting. There is a pineapple on a background table as Sean tells Gus it was always been his dream to join an a cappella group. I missed that. I missed that pineapple. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cold open. 1989. Sean begs Henry for a computer, but Henry hands him a Play Detectives lab kit instead. Flash to present day, a man on a bike pedals for his life, and he's being chased by armed assailants. He reaches his apartment building, drops his bike, climbs up a ladder, and runs inside. That's when he pulls out a digital camcorder from his backpack and is quickly able to upload the data before the men break in and asphyxiate him.
Can I just say something? I didn't even realize it. I didn't realize it till I saw it, you know, saw this part recently. I said, this was the brilliance right there. They were, because he wanted a computer. Young Sean wanted a computer, but instead his dad gave him a detective kit.
Right.
Yep. You see?
Yeah.
Flash forward to this situation. The data is being uploaded on a computer.
Yeah.
And then now he's going to have to use his detective skills to figure out what's going on.
Just got a excellent point, but got to point out that computer was a Commodore 360.
Which I had.
There was something typed across the computer. Mm-hmm. It said, kids, come play with me. Which I feel like it was a shout out to War Games.
Oh, really?
I'm really surprised it didn't say, shall we play a game?
All I remember from the Commodore 64, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
It was was Wheel of Fortune, Oregon Trail. Do you guys remember the Oregon Trail?
Oh, wow. I don't remember that one.
Okay, anyway. Yes, no, but this is a very very good catch, Dulé, because I actually feel like that's it's a very, what would be the word? It's like to go from making that point, I feel like a lot of the flashbacks are very cute. They're usually kind of spot on with what's happening.
When he's sending the email, if you pause on the screen and you rewatch the episode, because it's a psych rewatch podcast, everybody. Mm-hmm. We're called the psychologists are in, FYI. But you could see, if you pause on the episode, you can see the emails he's sending it to. One of which is the Jackal. So Gus's email is the Jackal. I couldn't quite read the what the full email address was.
Oh my God, I love it. I didn't see it. I didn't catch that.
One of them was to Tony.
Oh,
and
there he is. There's the Jackal.
See?
Yeah.
The Jackal's always there.
The Jackal is always there.
The Jackal's always there.
And just like that, he was here. He was here. And I missed him, but he was there.
Even back then, Gus's email was the Jackal was present in Gus's life.
Was that like an old college email that he had for me?
Yeah, he must have, because he sent it to everybody in Black and Blue.
Yes, I had the Jackal had been in existence for quite a while.
Oh, the Jackal's, I think, always been there, like you said.
You cannot
always
separate Gus and the Jackal.
And the Jackal.
No.
Gus, the Jackal.
They're one and the same.
Gus, the Jackal. You see? Gus, the Jackal.
Oh, boy.
He got right up in there.
Here's a little trivia. Leonard and Diddle is actually named after my cousin, Leonard Randolph.
Are you serious?
Yes. It's my big brother. My big brother, my big cousin, Leonard. And his nickname growing up was Diddle.
That's so cute.
I never told him that it was actually happening. So when they're watching
site. Was this one of the cousins that would constantly touch your food?
He would be one of them. Yes, he would be one of them. Yes, he would. Yep. Sure enough.
Wait, hold on. So you never told him? So the episode just came out
He's watching and he's like, and they say Leonard, and they say, you know what, because the pastor at the funeral says, Diddle to those who knew him, or something like that. He's watching. He's like, this dude right here. No, this dude did not do that.
and didn't tell him. Like, you didn't tell him. He just watched the episode.
Growing up, he was called, like, we used to always call him Diddle. And when he turned 18, he was like, you know, I'm 18 now. You know, my name is Leonard. I want to go by Leonard. No more Diddle.
Oh.
No more Diddle. And I still remember being like, all right, Diddle.
Yeah, you got it, Diddle.
Then he had to hear it for an entire episode.
Oh, so all these years later, you know what I mean? It was kind of funny to drop it in the episode.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yep, my cousin Leonard, his nickname was Diddle.
I love it. Shout out to Diddle.
We call him Doc. Yeah, we call him Doc now, though. But yeah.
Can we call him Diddle for the sake of the podcast, just to like really drive it home? Doc Diddle. All right, guys. Okay, he uploaded all the data before the men break in. They asphyxiate him. Okay, cut to a local church where Gus and Sean walk in as Gus complains about Sean's lack of
suits. You're skipping something rather important.
Yeah. What am I missing?
What happened while he was trying to send that email?
Well, when he was trying to send the email, he was...
Murdered. It was a murder.
It was a murder.
Murder.
I say he was murdered.
Yeah. Oh, I like that version
too.
Okay. Hold on. Should I give it a lack of suits? Okay. We learned that the dead man, Leonard Diddle Callahan. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Doc Diddle Leonard.
And I'm assuming Callahan is for Bill Callahan. Who was one of the writers.
Was a college friend of Gus's that he supposedly died from a hit and that he supposedly died from a hit and run. During the service, Sean asks Gus if he can say amen, and Gus replies to wait for it. or to wait for it. Then Sean yells, "Hallelujah!" All of a sudden, Gus and two other men head to the podium and begin singing.
There's a moment when Gus gets up to go to the altar and leaves Sean by himself. And there's a little bit of a hint of Sean being afraid of funerals, because he's someone who's like, who's foreshadowing to where we see it was a throwback to the long runner of Sean hating funerals.
Oh yes, yeah.
He gets this look of terror, being sitting in the pew by himself.
I think if my memory serves me correct, a little trivia about that scene. It was, I believe, at that scene at that location where I went to get my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and there was a big bite taken out of it. It was a big bite taken out of my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Yes, it was a big bite taken out of my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and it was a thing for like quite some time because no one would say who did it. And I'm like, who took a bite out of my peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Like, it's not funny. It's just not funny. And after a while, hours later, I finally was, I think outside by the trailers or something like that, and we're still trying to talk about it. And the way I just looked at Jaleel and I saw the way he was looking, I said, "You son of a bitch." And I knew at that moment that it was him. And it kind of dawned on me. He's like, he's the only cat that it would actually come and take a bite out of my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because, I've known Jaleel for a long time.
I get a little, I keep bumping on the fact you're saying the full name of the sandwich. Because on set, you always said PB&J.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Oh,
but
peanut
yes,
butter and jelly sandwich, yeah.
Give me a PB&J, please.
I love that,
Jaleel. For those of you who don't know, but PB&J actually stands for peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
That's what it does. That's like the full scientific name of it is peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Yes, there you go. You're welcome.
That's the scientific name.
Mm-hmm. But now you have like H2O, like if you want to get to the properties of it, it's just PB ampersand J.
Delay.
Yeah. PB J.
Wow. Like right. Mind blown emoji right now. Anyway.
Now, that bite, it couldn't have been me because A, I wasn't on set that day. And B, my MO was always to sniff the PB&J. Never take a bite.
Tim was a sniffer, never an eater. He was a sniffer.
No. Breaking news, guys. Yes. It was actually me. It wasn't Jaleel. Oh.
No way. No, that's not true. I don't believe you.
I'm joking. I'm completely joking. First of all,
but then you weren't there either at that location, so it couldn't have been you.
No.
Cross examination. You celiac. You would not be taking a bite of a sandwich.
That's actually true. I wouldn't. Although at the time, I don't know if I knew yet.
I don't know if you knew then. I don't know if you knew.
I didn't. I don't think I found out until. I don't know. No, it was definitely later. Definitely a little later.
If it was a PB&J on rice cakes. No, absolutely,
different story.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a whole day. You better watch out.
It would have always been me if there was a bite taken out.
You're the rice cake taker.
I am the rice cake taker Lawson.
Go to the crafty tent. Reach in the bag for the rice cakes. And we're out of rice cakes. Damn it, Lawson.
I'm going to get a new handle. That's going to be my new email. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about you guys, but I wish life came with a user manual. Pretty much in any situation, I wish there was a user manual. But I think this is where therapy can come in and help. So unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Navigating any of life's challenges can make you feel unsure, whether it's a career change, a new relationship, or becoming a parent. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex engine called you. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, accessible anywhere, and 100% online. I know I've said this a million times. You guys, it is so easy to use. It's so easy to sign up. App takes you through a whole like questionnaire so you can be matched with somebody who's perfect for you and whatever makes you feel safe. And I think in therapy, that's probably the most important thing if you want to get something out of it, is to feel as safe as possible in the process. I think therapy is so helpful, at least for me. I can only speak for myself, but in helping me form a healthy relationship, or I should say like enforce a healthy relationship with myself. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It could not be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/pineapple. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/pineapple.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay. Sean discovers that not only was Gus in a singing group, that he had been estranged from Tony and June for years and refuses to say why. Sean also notices a suspicious mourner with a scar on his face that seems out of place there. That's because I was going to make a Candyman reference. But anyway, after the service, Tony and June come up to Sean telling him they think Diddle was murdered. Cut to the Boyz II Men theme song, which was so good. So good. What a
surprise.
Some would
call it a genius move to get.
Genius move. Okay, back at the psych office, Tony, June, and Gus tell Sean about the email they got from Diddle the night he died. The title of the email was, "It's So Hard to Say Goodbye," which came with a huge, heavily encrypted attachment no one could open. We learned that Diddle worked for CyberVault, a company that encrypts data for other companies in the government. The guys think Diddle must have stumbled across secret information someone else wanted and got harmed along the way.
Little side note, most people probably know this already, but Boyz II Men sang the theme song. And what is one of their hit songs?
It's so hard
to say goodbye.
There it is.
I like Tim's version.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Oh, that song. It just like, it takes me back to like eighth grade and like our eighth grade dances. Oh man, that was a good one. I think that was like our graduation
eighth grade,
song.
College. I mean, it's all a blur.
Last week. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Okay. Sean says they need to trace back his final steps. So they all head to Diddle's apartment where Sean notices new hinges on the door. Diddle's bike safety gear hung neatly on the wall. The threesome also try on their old a cappella jackets and break into dance, but quickly stop themselves. This was so funny. Sean also notices some of Diddle's computer gear missing and decides it's time to bring in the cops.
A lot of those moves, because we just put it together right there on the day.
That was my question.
Myself, Keenan, and Jalil. A lot of those moves were just really taken from this group called Guy. A lot of those moves, like back in the 90s, that was like the moves that you would do.
That was so good.
Teddy Riley, Aaron Hall, and Damien Hall. There was a group called Guy, and they had this song called "Groove Me, Oh Yeah, Baby, Tonight." So like a lot of those moves are, you know, kind of just an homage to that.
I literally wondered who our choreographer was. Our choreographer was on the episode. Because he was so good.
It was Jalil Hill, right?
It was me. Yeah. It was like that. That was just me, Keenan, and Jalil just being like, let's do this. Let's do that. Yep. And even the flashback video that you saw at the funeral.
Which was genius, by the way.
That was the stuff we put together.
That video, that I was like, who found the wardrobe? Like, how much fun did you all have recording that? It's just happening like back here a little bit. And like, I'm just like watching.
And the gold, hammer pants were just.
You know, that was it. We were bringing a little hammer to the scene. You know what
I'm
saying?
It was some good hammer.
Hammer, I am.
Hammer.
Hammer, I am.
Yeah.
That's you know, it's MC Hammer right there. Hammer, I am.
It was you were front and center, I feel like. Majority.
Leonard, in the flashback.
Yeah. You come across at one point just doing the
I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe.
I mean, Leonard was up front. I know Leonard was up front, and then we were like his backup.
Okay.
I was in the middle though, so I was back in center. I was back in center is what I was.
The good news is that it's at the beginning of the episode, so I can go back and rewatch the beginning part because I have to. I've got to go back and rewatch this scene.
You see? Yeah.
All right. Okay, Sean also notices some of Diddle's computer gear is missing and decides it's time to bring in the cops. As Sean and Gus arrive at the station, Sean addresses Lassiter as the old penguin from Happy Feet.
O'Hara is in. We got to call out this color that you're in.
What am I wearing?
You're in the bluest cotton candy sweater that is possibly imaginable.
Cotton candy blue. I like that one.
The bluest of cotton candy blues.
Yes.
The bluest of cotton candy blues. I love it. Okay.
Like it's bluer than bluey.
Yeah, it's like it's its own blue. It's literally it's a new category of blue that began after 2009. It's the blue that
all of the blues we're going to compare to one. We can't match that.
No. And you loved it because I was standing next to you and it brought out your eyes.
But your eyes were way overshadowing my eyes in that.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no, definitely, because...
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what would happen on the set of Psych when Tim and Maggie would get into a scene together. They would keep complimenting each other on their beauty. No, it's you.
That's what I tell. So when we have guests that come on that don't know us, like you, they're always like, so if I don't remember a lot about the episode or I have to go back and see what I do remember, I'm like, don't worry. We spend 45 minutes just complimenting each other, Tim and I. So just as long as you, all you have to do is throw one thing in and you're good. And we'll compliment you.
So what happens on the podcast is what happened on set.
Yes.
And it's true.
All true.
It's true.
Okay.
It's
true. After asking for help, Lassiter and Juliet shut them down, so they are forced to sneak into the coroner's office, where Sean dresses up as the coroner and Gus plays the cadaver. That's when the boys meet Woody, our favorite coroner.
The glorious Kurt Fuller.
Yeah. This was such a beginning of a little era with Kurt. I love it.
Yeah.
Also, Woodrow Strode.
Yeah. We're getting him. We'll have to get him on soon. I couldn't figure this out. I couldn't figure out until maybe later, but still. We are cold to you guys. Like, you all come in, and I know it's because we'll find out later why, like, we have this other thing going on, but I'm like, Gus's friend just died, and we are just like, nope, sorry.
Nope.
We can't help. And I was like, man, this is the most harsh we've ever been, I felt like. Anyway, when the boys – oh, yeah.
It's definitely the most harsh that you have ever been.
Yeah. Very much like, guys, get out of here.
You're like, what's going on with you? What's happening here?
Wait, Maggie, do that face again.
Like, guys, get out of here. Yeah. I was like, anyway. Okay, so when they meet Woody, they discover that Diddle's injuries are consistent with asphyxiation. Apparently, the biking accident was used to cover the murder, and since Gus, Tony, and June received an email file from Diddle, their lives are now in danger, too. As Sean and Gus report this back to Tony and June, Tony's car blows up in front of them. That was big. That was a big stunt. That was a big blow up for us, I thought.
Yeah.
Lassie and Jules now believe Gus and Sean about the murder, but they lecture them on how they can't help on the case because it's a conflict of interest. Sean tries to use Abigail as a tactic to scam information about the case, and Jules is not having it. His high-pitched
Jules
voice.
That's so funny. I literally put in my notes, Jules is not having it. He makes the effort for the high-pitched. This is a really funny, adorable scene. It's the first time that Jules sort of doesn't fall for his sweet, charming charm.
No, I don't. I also wrote down one of what I thought was one of the funniest lines when Keenan said, or was it to Keenan, why would they put another dude's face on the coffin?
Yeah, that was funny. That was so funny.
Sorry, that's from a few scenes ago, but I was like, wait, yes. I have to call back that this was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard.
And he delivered it so perfectly. He really did. I was like, this dude is an idiot.
I mean, every line Keenan delivered in this episode was just spot on.
Oh, yeah.
Stone every line. Funny. It was so good. Wait, was there something else?
And also, I got to shout out when Keenan did his little Buster.
Oh, yeah.
In that same scene early on too, where they're talking about how, I guess they were talking to Sean and they wanted Sean to help them with the case, even though he works with somebody, you know, Buster like Gus.
Yeah.
And he just drops his Buster in there. He actually kind of got a chance to play it back, return that Buster back to Keenan years later. Cause when Makai came and did the next episode where Jaleel showed up and we were able to call Keenan's character June a Buster in that one.
Oh, I love
it. A little full circle moment right there. I'm just saying.
We love full circle.
What's the scene where what episode does Jaleel come back on?
It's the one where I don't know the name of it, but Sean has a appendicitis.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. He's in the hospital. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it though.
I don't remember that one either. It's like two seasons later. I was about to say it's either the next one or the one after. It doesn't feel like it's that far. It's not that far in the future. Okay, since the trio are now in danger, Sean and Gus hide Tony and June at Henry's home and head to Cyber Vault to investigate. As they enter the building, the man with the scar is watching them. Once inside, they meet Diddle's supervisor, Mr. Tully, and his assistant, Chelsea Patterson. Hey.
The nugget there, everybody. Yes. You want to tell them what the nugget is?
The nugget is Saladin K. Patterson's beautiful wife is Chelsea Patterson, and he gave her a nice shout-out in this episode.
Yes.
In the end, it doesn't work out so well for Chelsea in the crime.
I've got to bring up one note. When they're at Henry's house and they're having the argument, the Black Capella is having the argument about how successful they were or were not back in college. And Gus has a great line where he says, we did a couple of shows, one at the Student Center, and then a psych foreshadowing. The other was at the Cinnamon Festival.
Oh, the Cinnamon Festival. Right. That's right. We talk about that in, Dual Spires?
Dual Spires, our Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
Hey.
And I got to shout out Rowan's amazing shirts that she made, our friend from Psych Lego.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She made amazing
Cinnamon Festival shirts, t-shirts for her.
Yes.
I think it was
she's so talented.
FanX.
Yeah, and FanX.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. With Chelsea Patterson, okay. Claiming, that they're Gus Brown and Sean White. I wrote that down. Also very, very, very funny. I was like, these are two of the funniest names we've had on the show. They ask his boss to help decrypt Diddle's email, but Tully tells them Diddle was too good. Sean and Gus check out Diddle's desk where they discover the last thing Diddle wrote were a couple of addresses. They also notice a gap in his bookshelf, which allowed him to stare at Chelsea. They talk to Chelsea, who says Diddle finally got up the nerve to ask her out right before he died. She can't really tell them that much more, but Gus gives her his personal number in case she remembers anything. Oh, it's so good. Now,
is this the first time where the number – is this the first time we did it where the number was written on the back so she can see my perfect penmanship?
I don't know. I missed that. Was that shot? Was that a shot in there?
I feel like
– it's a full-on reference. I don't know if it's the first time.
Reference. Okay. Yeah.
Devin
is
saying yes, it is.
Yeah, and then that becomes like a little runner for
the whole
for Gus about putting
series.
All the way back to the psych movies.
That's right. Yep. Yeah,
in pencil,
yep.
Right?
It's a player move. Yep.
Yeah,
it's a player move. It's what a play named Gus does.
The fact that one of the guys calls him out on it. I can't remember if it was Keenan or Jaleel.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They do.
That was my move. They said that was my move. I taught you that move.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're like, wait, what are they fighting about right now? That's right. So
sure enough, I think that was Jaleel's character that said, I taught you that move.
It was so funny.
That was funny.
Love it. Okay. Okay. Back at Henry's house, we find him patching up the two guys because they accidentally shot themselves with BB guns. While there, Chelsea calls Gus and asks him out to drinks, infuriating Tony and June, who say Gus will always sell out his boys for women, which is what broke up the group. Tony's upset too because Gus stole his writing out his number trick to flaunt his penmanship. Oh my God, this is totally so good. The guys all fight about how Gus broke up Black Capella because of his sexual escapades. I don't know why I'm laughing so hard.
A player named Gus, man.
A player named Gus. Then
every night, Gus.
Ooh, every night, Gus. Oh, I love it. Not just one night. Not just last night.
Not just last night, Gus.
Now. Yeah. Okay, he reveals that Sean hooked up with his sister, and the guys love it. That's when Gus storms off, saying they broke his heart.
That was an amazing throwback.
That was so good. The whole thing was, what? And then they were like, oh my God, really?
You hooked up with Joy?
Gus. Yeah. Okay, Gus storms off saying they broke his heart back in college. Sean and Gus then leave to go check out the addresses Ditto wrote at work, and Tony and June follow, even though they were supposed to stay put. The first address is a warehouse that seems to have been recently cleaned out. Tony and June tell them Sean told them to come because of his nod. He gave him, he's like, you gave me the nod. That's when Gus reminds Sean not to mess with the nod.
So good.
So ridiculous. It's so bad.
But this is what I mean about this episode. Oh. It's just, there's like, the jokes are, they're just so, they're so good. Gosh. They're like not as obvious and they're just, I was dying. Okay.
It was that's chock full of density and dense jokes.
Yeah. Dense jokes. All right.
But what I loved about this episode too is that there also were cultural jokes in there too, which is something I really loved about Psych in general, where Sean and Gus didn't pretend that they weren't who they were.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that could actually be, I think, replicated in society. If we did, then we would be much better instead of being colorblind. It's also about engaging in the different cultures that people bring to this situation.
Absolutely. Like this
really inside the church service when Sean got up and said, hallelujah, all at the wrong time. That's a cultural thing. Yeah. So that's why Sean was looking at him. That's why Gus was looking at him like,
no,
dude, what are you doing? And even this thing with the nod, it's a cultural thing. Like every Black man knows exactly what the nod is. So the fact that like Sean, I told Sean not to mess with the
nod. Yeah.
It's pretty hilarious.
And he does it wrong.
I got to take my hat off to both our Rodea and Saldi and Patterson for crafting these things into this episode.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And it's really funny. And I like what you said too about it. If we could all kind of look at it like that, it would be.
Yeah, like embrace the uniqueness of people, which is again, what I think I appreciate about, you know, psychos.
Yeah.
As psychos, I don't think that we are a group of people who say, we're all the same. We're all the same. Yeah. I think psychos, we say, no, we all are very uniquely different, but in that we are the same.
Yeah.
We're the same because we're all are unique and different. And that's what makes us all wonderful. Yeah. Like you do this, I do that. I'm really into this. We're into that. They're into this. You know what I mean?
And I'm going to honor you for that. And you honor me for that. Yeah, you know totally. Sean like has, where you are. Right.
Sean has great powers of perception. Gus is into like safe cracking.
Yeah.
And it's not everybody all just being into the same thing all at once. And I think that's I think that's a beautiful thing. Personally.
Very well said.
I digress though.
Very well said, Dooley.
That was a great digression. As always. It was a on point digression.
No, there we go. There we go.
No, we now, love that.
Back to you, Rice Cake. Take back.
I don't want to move on from that. I really don't. I feel like the episode, like, that's what I mean about Dooley. I love having you on the episodes. Anyway, very well said, Dooley Hill. Okay, Tony and June, hold on. Oh, the nod. Yes, okay. That's when Gus reminds Sean not to mess with the nod. Then Sean and Gus hear Tony and June screaming for help as they get kidnapped. Back at the station, Lassiter and Juliet are angry with Sean and Gus.
When they're in the warehouse.
Yeah.
And they go American Ninja during the shootout.
Yeah. Oh.
And the guy with the gun says, who are you? And Sean comes up with a fake Slavic name. And the guy goes, Russian mob.
Oh, yeah.
It sets up one of my favorite runners on this show ever.
Yeah.
It's
very funny.
Dooley and then
is
goes,
this where it began?
American Ninja. And it's the runner of Gus saying mother and never finishing that sentence.
Okay. Wait, where are we, Lasseter and Gus even get into a heated debate about the case? Sean tells Gus, I know what will make you feel better. And it looks like he got Gus a Frosty from Wendy's. It's so cute. Lassie and Jules keep Sean and Gus out of the loop. So the two decide to head to the second warehouse on their own wearing matching black hoodies. That's when they witness a drug deal between one of Diddle's killers and the man with the scar. The guy with the scar on his face does the classic move where he dips his finger in to try the drugs, and he even double dips. You all have a very funny runner.
That's unsanitary.
Or a very funny bit about that, yeah. And then, of course, Gus is...
Question real quick. Is this the same scene, all right, leading up to where Sean runs and tries to scale the fence and hits the fence flat and falls down?
No, it's well, hold on. It's when you guys are, so we have the interrogation scene. We have that famous shot of you guys backing up with your hands handcuffed to the chairs and your hoodies on, and you back up with your scream and you hit the wall. It's very, very funny.
Okay,
and
okay.
So that was one. And then I don't know. Is this the, Tim, do you remember Sean hitting the?
I don't think it's this one.
Because in my mind, it used to be in the opening credits.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the
I think it's the piece I'm saying that, yeah, because he does, he runs and hits the,
hits
the
fence. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
I don't think it's in this one. I think it's, I think the bit from the opening credits in this one is the, just when you guys slide back in your chairs and hit the wall screaming.
It's very funny. Okay.
In the interrogation room. But I don't know. Psychos, weigh in. Did we miss that? I don't think I would have missed that. But
I don't think they're ever outside running. They're running in the warehouse.
I don't know why I felt like it was like doing that in American Ninja thing, but maybe I'm making that up.
It could have been from the American Ninja thing from a different one. Okay. One of the funniest bits, one of the funniest little stunt bits on our show. Okay, then of course, Gus's cell phone goes off, giving away their hiding spot. Even better, it's Sean who accidentally called him. The guys are able to escape from the killer, but the man with the scar holds a gun at them and orders them into his car, the same car that took their friends, Tony and June. Sean and Gus are cuffed and blindfolded in a room, but when their blindfolds come off, they realize they're at the police station. This is it, with Lasseter and Juliet. Then the man with the scar, the whole thing that happens in this interrogation room is so funny.
Hang on, and O'Hara is in a brand spanking new color. Oh. You're in a dark Lawson lilac.
Oh.
Wow.
With a really sharp gray peak lapelled suit jacket.
Oh, I love this.
This was a
from
great
the bluest
outfit.
Blue. From the bluest blue to the Lawson lilac.
Lawson
lilac before. This was a dark version of Lawson.
A dark Lawson lilac. And yeah. It's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. It is impressive. And I like it. Okay. The man with the scar walks in and they scream and they push their chairs back in fear. Turns out the man with the scar is Detective Moses. Also, I have to give a little speech in this that I never got through. There's a blooper reel of it, of how many times I had to attempt this speech. The man with the scar walks in and they scream and they push their chairs back in fear. Turns out the man with the scar is Detective Moses Johnson, a narcotics officer currently running an undercover sting operation. As for Tony and June, they're hanging out in the next room eating donuts.
Do we mention who the man with the scar is? Played by the iconic Tony Todd.
Tony Todd.
The Candy Man.
That's right.
Love him. So good. Juliet and Lasseter tell Sean and Gus that someone cracked their security network and discovered where they kept the confiscated drugs and weapons from their busts. Diddle must have discovered the security breach and videotaped one of the transactions, but no one has been able to decrypt the file he emailed yet. As Gus is reunited with Tony and June, they jump for joy in a circle. This was so sweet. It warmed my heart. That's when Sean realizes that the key to crack Diddle's code is in their voices, and they have to sing It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to unlock the email. This was so genius. I was so blown away by this episode. That's when the trio sing into a mic hooked up to the computer and are so close to watching the video. The only problem is they need a fourth voice in the harmony. Now it's Sean's time to shine. As they all blend their voices together beautifully, the video unlocks and they realize the identity of the rat at Cyber Vault. Turns out the bad guy was a bad girl. Chelsea, the assistant with the big behind... the big butt that cannot lie, as it was written. There's a very funny, you have a funny bit admiring Chelsea in one of the scenes. Anyway, plus, Diddle didn't have a crush on Chelsea. He was simply spying on her until she got him killed. Gus tells Chelsea he's canceling their drinks date. Possibly. And then gets Chelsea. And then Chelsea gets arrested.
That's vintage Gus right there.
Vintage Gus. So cute. Okay, back at the psych office, Black Capella is reformed with Sean even taking the fourth spot. Sean pitches the new name, Quarter Black, and the guys love it, except Gus.
It still doesn't make any sense. It's just still not.
It doesn't.
No, it's not. It doesn't. The mathematics don't add up.
You make sense in the scene. You're just like, that doesn't make any sense. And then everybody votes on it. And they're like, well, when did we decide, you know, we're going to vote on things? And then everybody decides, oh, now we're going to vote on things. And they decide to all go to lunch. And that guys love it except for Gus. And then they all go eat on Gus's dime.
Keenan's. Who votes that Gus should pay?
Yeah. Everyone waits. Yeah, right. All right, guys, are you ready for some fan questions? And then, Dulé, you can get your much-needed rest.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, fan questions. What was it like working with Kenan Thompson and Jaleel White? And this is a whole bunch. It's sort of like, how funny were they? Who was the most guilty of saying, did I do that to Jaleel? How did Gus in an acapella? Okay, so, yeah. So what was it like working with them?
It was great working with Kenan and Jaleel. I've known them both for a long time, and having them come on the show was a lot of fun. One of the good things about getting on a long-running television show is that you get a chance to work with your friends, talented friends, gifted friends.
Yeah.
And it was, we had to figure out a way to really work it out to the right story. And when Rodé and Saladin crafted this story, it really made perfect sense for them to come and play around. Actually, it hit them both. Gave them both a call. Was like, you want to come and play on Psych? And they jumped at it. They are just as funny in person as they are on camera. So we laughed a lot on set. And in terms of who was the most guilty of saying, did I do that to Jaleel? I would say nobody.
No.
Because I think what people sometimes often forget is that he is an actor who just did a great job of playing that role.
Yeah.
It's like here on the set of, like with Psych, we don't really run around off camera giving each other like Psych jokes like that. We have our personal jokes.
He's also a grown-ass man.
And he's a grown-ass man, yeah. So, I mean...
No one said that.
No, we just all were having a good time and being creative and creating this new story, this new world that we were working on.
So. It was really fun to watch you during this episode, too. You all had an absolute blast. And just fun to see you with your friends and goofing around and making up dances. And it was... I remember how much fun it seemed like you were having on this one.
And the genius of you guys together is... So many of your lines seemed like they were improvised.
Yeah.
Especially Keenan's.
Especially Keenan's. Yeah. I mean, it's been so long. I can't even remember what was written and what just came out of it. Like, I don't even like that Busta line, I think, was just Keenan dropping in that. But it was a joy. It was a joy working with both of them. We had a great time.
Yeah. I have to I don't know Keenan as well. I remember he was so funny. But I felt like I got to really hang with Jaleel when we went to your wedding. We were on a flight together and we were like, and he was such a doll, such a sweetheart. And it was nice to get to spend a lot of time with him. They're such good guys.
Good people. And who knew, like, back then when Kenan came on the show, he was already on SNL, but who knew that he was going to have such the run that he has had and become like such an iconic presence for SNL.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really, really proud of him.
I'm sorry. He was already on SNL when he came on our show?
He was already on SNL, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. I remember I was already a fan and that was really fun to have him on. Did you see Saturday Nights by any chance?
No, the recent one, no.
Yeah. He totally brought me to tears. He was so sweet because it was Cecily.
Strong.
Her last episode, and he was really torn up about it. They seemed like they were very close, and so he was trying to get through some of the skits, and they were like, or sketches, and they were. It was just very sweet. It was very sweet to see. They must be also bonded for so long.
So it looks like I'll be turning on Peacock tonight.
I was just going to say, I think I recorded it, but if I didn't record it, I know I can find it on the Peacock.
The Peacock. It's kind of nice on Saturday nights because they air it live. They'll air it the East Coast. So you can actually watch it earlier if you want to, just as a, you know, if you ever want to watch actually on Saturday night.
The Peacock.
The
macaque.
All right. Okay. So what was the how did Gus and an acapella troupe come to be? I guess like how did that? Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
How did we come up? I mean,
well, I think I would know the answer.
That's probably more of a Rodé and Saladin question, but I think it was the idea that how do we get his old group of, you know, friends, college friends to come back together. And the time period of the 90s, there were a lot of, you know, R&B acapella groups or singing groups, whether it was Boyz II Men or Jodeci or Shy or, you know, Troop. There's all these groups. So it just made sense that this is what they would do.
Yeah.
Also, I think if you ask them during the time period of the episode why they formed in college, it was to get shorties.
Oh yeah, of course. Oh, of course. Because I mean, in college, I mean, it was the singers that was getting all the work. You know what I'm saying? When you can sing, you got it.
Did you say it was the singers who were getting all the work?
They were getting all the work. You know what I'm saying? So of course they wanted to do that. You know.
Of course.
I mean, you know, the ladies always love a guy who can sing. You know, that was always
for sure,
especially in college.
Oh, you know? Yeah. What would your a cappella group be called?
Oh, I guess in this particular moment, the sleepers. The soon-to-be sleepers. Or it might just be rested. You see? You've just been rested. You see, yeah.
I like it.
Maybe the a cappella group would always sing in a whisper.
Oh, maybe not, though, if you want them to, you know, have a... not go by like a whisper. No, I'm kidding.
That's true.
No, but rested would be the right name for a group
and
that whispers.
Next, we have the boy band that you all have come to grow in love. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here they are. Rested. Come on.
And then it's like, why are they singing like this? Oh, it's because they whisper, so you can rest.
And then we would come out onto the stage. Our entrance would be like from off the stage. It'd be like the mic, you know, the sound and everything. It'd be all quiet, and all you hear is.
And that's then everyone yawns.
Yo, that's when you know it's about to get real. They're like, oh, they about to come out. You heard that yawn, y'all? Y'all heard that yawn?
That's good.
Here comes rested.
Oh, now I'm gonna actually yawn.
Come on, everybody.
It worked. Okay, last question so we can all rest.
Oh gosh.
How'd you get Boyz II Men to sing the theme song?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. I was thinking about
how did that. I mean I know I had known Wanye from before.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't involved in making that connection. I think that might have been like a Chris Henze thing, producer's thing going through, reaching out somehow. I don't really know exactly how it came about. I know when I heard that they were locking them in, I thought it was very impressive, but I'm not sure exactly how we got Boyz II Men.
Right.
And they had told me before, because I ran into them afterwards and they'd told me how it happened, but
right. This
is now years later and it's something that has slipped in my cranium.
Well, we are grateful. That's one of the coolest.
Oh yeah, that was That's when I really thought like, okay, we're becoming a cool show now. Like this is pretty cool. Like when you can get Boyz II Men to come and do your theme song for one episode, that's pretty.
Well, it took four seasons, but by then we were cool.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah.
Guys, that is our high top fade out episode with our nearest and dearest Dule Hill. This was so fun. Is there anything else anyone wants to like add before we let Dule go sleep and for months?
I just want to say, Dule, thank you for showing up for us as always. And
as always,
supporting our amazing podcast. I know our psychos love it as much as they love you, as much as we love you.
Oh, and I love you too, man. I love you. I love the psychos, and I love being able to get together and just kind of take a stroll down memory lane. It's been a great journey. And I think the journey continues with this whole psych love that we have as a whole. So I love being able to, you know, sit in with the psychologists. You know, see what I'm saying?
We love having you as a patient.
Well, you always drop the wisdom.
And you, yeah, you bring the wisdom. Dule, thank you so much. We know you are busy and you're tired and you show up and you drop wisdom, and it's just so good to see you and connect always.
Always, always. Always. Much love for you all.
Same to you.
You too,
and
you go get yourself some sleep, as you would say.
Oh, yeah.
Go have a rest. Go get rested.
Rested.
Yeah. This was such a fun episode. I love that we just giggle all the time when Dule comes on to the pod. It's such a fun, it's so fun. We love you so much, Dule. Thank you for coming on the show. And as always, thank you again to all of you for listening to The Psychologists Are In. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In and our Twitter at Psychologist Pod. And check out our Patreon for full videos and episodes and more at patreon.com/psychologistsarein. Oh, and if you're in the San Francisco area, check us out at Sketchfest on January 21st. We cannot wait to meet you all. We'll see you next week where we talk about season 4, episode 8. Let's Get Hairy with Mr. Joshua Malina.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.